The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This past week, I was in Wichita for some senior retreats at the two Catholic high schools. The purpose was kind of twofold, right? To offer advice to them and kind of promote some of the growth that's happening here at St. Pius X. And so naturally, two little excerpts from our readings this weekend came to the forefront of my prayer. The first, pretty obvious: remain in my love. As I sat there talking to these kids in the different free time, asking them what their plans were, where they were going to school, it became kind of, their responses made it very clear to me of how much uncertainty there is in our future. Not only for these kids about where to go, many of them at this point are still undecided, which was a little perplexing to me, but it also reminds me that even some of the seniors that I talk to here in college really don't know what their future holds for them either. There's many options about what to do in life, where to go, and what's even possible, which makes it, again, a little more clear to me that college is becoming less and less about the degree or the job that someone gets, and more about how we are being built up. And I was talking to an employer of a somewhat larger company a couple weeks ago, and it was, the saying was so true, right? Most of them, now there's some outliers, things that you really need people to be like on the dot for, right? But most people don't really care where a degree someone gets their degree from. They don't even necessarily really even care what their GPA is unless it's incredibly low, right? But what they really focus on is, in the interview, does this person have the competency, a basic competency? Does this person understand the mission of this company? And if so, are they willing to be able to provide that and relate that mission to their coworkers and to their clientele? At the base, it comes down to what we are able to live out. For us, whether we're freshmen or seniors, even if we're already graduated, when we think about graduation, I think it should be less about the career or the job and more about who we are becoming. And for us as Catholics, who we are becoming and who we are being built up into as a person in love with Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, to glorify God doesn't mean that we're the best teacher in the state, we're the best chemist, the best technician, the best, you name it. What Jesus says today is that what glorifies God is to become his disciple. And the way that we become his disciple, he says, is being willing to be pruned, by being willing to acknowledge the word that he says, to remain in his love, and finally to allow it to bear fruit in our life. So much like the qualities that an employer is looking for, when we think about becoming a disciple, that word has to be more than a title, which means for us then that our faith has to become more than a diploma. It's more about just showing up for class. But as St. John says in our second reading today, that we can't just be Catholic in word or in speech, but we have to live it out in deed and in truth. Letting the gospel, the very fact that all of us have sinned, all of us are in need of a Savior, letting that very fact that Christ came to save us and he continues to save us, has to become evident in our life. And that's what it means to be built up then, both individually and for us collectively here as a Newman Center. So I figured, since I studied for 5 years, I studied architecture and I left and haven't really used it since, I would use a little bit of what people would consider a worthless degree to give us some tips on how this reality of abiding and remaining in Jesus' love can actually be built up from just a gospel statement to a reality in our life. And so first and foremost, an architect has to consider the context. Right? All of us have been affected by sin. Right? Sin has disfigured something in our life, from just daily decisions to even our personality, whether it's a trauma that's been inflicted upon us, a habitual sin, or just something that's come into our life of late. And so much like dirt work, right? Conversion is going to hurt. There's going to be some scraping. There's going to be some things that are going to make us uncomfortable. It's going to take some correction, correction from our own self-reflection, correction from other people in our life, but it's altogether necessary. If we don't lay that first groundwork of conversion, then we can't come up with something that's going to last, right? And it doesn't have to scare us. Conversion doesn't have to scare us. As an architect, sometimes the most beautiful buildings, the most beautiful pieces of art are those that have to work around something on the site. And we see that demonstrated in our first reading today, right? St. Paul. St. Paul was persecuting Christians. He was putting them to death. But that very harsh reality of his past became the powerful component of the story of his conversion. Secondly, for us as Catholic Christians, it means that our plans, have to remain faithful to the very structures that are provided for us. Right, I'll ask students this question all the time. I'll say, do you want to get married? And they say, yes. And I say, great. Do you expect your spouse to be perfect? And they say, no. And then I'm like, okay, good. We're sticking with reality here. And then I say, well, how can you expect to be faithful to someone who you know is going to repeatedly fail you if you can't first be faithful to the God who loves you perfectly? For us, we have to acknowledge that truth, and the Lord has left behind for us, right? He took on flesh so he could leave us opportunities to receive that life, to remain on the branch, right? Or on the vine, rather. He gives us that in the sacraments. And so if the Eucharist, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, his life poured out for us to receive and to physically remain in us is not significant, if we deny that, if we deny the opportunity for conversion and the sacrament of confession, then we're to actually deny the very gospel reality, to deny that God took on flesh, the very God who in the scriptures today says, without me, you can do nothing. Which brings me then to the very last point. To be a disciple is not just some term, but it means that we don't build alone and we don't build for ourselves. Remember, Jesus said, by this will you glorify the Father, that you bear much fruit and become my disciple. Right? How empty would our life be if everything we did, even what you're studying, if all of that was just to provide comfort for yourself? If you made a product or you produced a product, did some service for no one but yourself, it would be empty. Right? Your work will affect other people, so too will your becoming a disciple. In the first reading today, Barnabas, who himself was impacted by Christ's life, began to bear much fruit, where? In Paul's life. People didn't believe that Paul had converted. They only knew him as someone who persecuted. And what does it say? It says, in the first reading, it says, he took charge of Paul. Not in a sense of authority, but rather to protect the conversion that was already at work within Paul's life. Right? We receive that command in our second reading today to love others as God has loved us. And if we're converted and we find the love of Christ, then we have no other option but to invite other people into that. And so, my brothers and sisters, just as a branch cannot bear fruit unless it remains on the vine, so neither can we unless we remain in Jesus Christ. Today, as a community, we celebrate the very call and the response to become disciples, not just in word or in speech, not just simply in our presence, but in our deeds and in the truth of our life. And there's something powerful that's beginning to take shape on our campus. In year two now, I can recognize that through the Mass, through the sacraments, through hours spent in a time of adoration, through time in study, through authentic building of friendship that's beginning to take shape here, we as a Catholic Student Center are allowing ourselves individually and collectively to be grafted onto the vine of God's love, and it's beginning to bear fruit. We must not look over that. So no matter if you're really engaged here or this is the first time that you've come to Mass, let us be grafted on to God's love. Let us continue to be built up, not just for the sake of numbers, but rather so that our love for the Lord may bear fruit in our lives and in the lives of those on this campus, bringing them to know the gospel and God's very love that he asks for them to remain in. By this, all of us, not just me, will be architects of what's happening here at Pitt State and what's happening here at St. Pius X. Architects like the early church who are building up the church, leading this campus like they did to peace, to finding authentic love and friendship, and by discovering the gospel to begin to grow in numbers.